Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Sad. Good morning and top of a morning to all our listeners. Yes, another lovely day that the Lord has made. You're tuned into Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. Yes, lovely people, it's a pleasure to be back here with you once again. Lovely track there by Tasha Cobbs, Fill Me Up Till I Run Over. You know, there's a lot of very interesting things he mentioned in the song there. There was a bit of that, if you bring the sacrifice, you know, if you bring the fire, he'll bring the there's a two-way transaction. Anytime we're with the Lord, there's our expectation and there's his expectation, you know, from us as well. And so as we walk with the Lord, which has been our topic for a couple of weeks now, we must remember that it's a two-way traffic. There's two-way transaction. There's what God expects from you and there's what you are anticipating or expecting that he will do. And so just remember, it's two-way traffic, and I pray that we will come to understand the part that is our bit to do, and that the Lord who is faithful will do that bit which only him can do and meet us at the point of our need in Jesus' name. All right, so good morning everyone. Let's just commit our session in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege that is today. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for taking us through the year 2025. Thus far you have brought us, and truly it is you who has brought us this far. We thank you for every month, for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, and now we're in September. Father, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Thank you for everything you provided in the months that have gone by. Thank you for bringing us this far. Thank you for every single one of our listeners that you have given the privilege to be here this morning. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for the things that only you can do that make you God in our life. Thank you that you are the one that's enthroned in our hearts. We commit our session today unto you. We ask, Lord, that you will guide us by your Spirit. Let there be an abundance of your Spirit to teach, to guide, to navigate, to bring us to a place of understanding as we look into the Scriptures. We ask this of you and we just thank you. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. All right. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Right, like I said, with that song by Tasha Cobbs, Fill Me Up, that should be our prayer. You want to be constantly filled with the goodness of God, constantly filled with the very nature and the attributes of God, so that even when you minister, when you're being used as a vessel, you minister from your overflow. Trust me, if you've been in ministry for any length of time, it's much easier when you minister from your overflow. Otherwise, it can be very energy sapping when you're drawing from that which you contain. You know, so learn to get to a place where you are in a constant connection, constant communion, and constant walk with the Lord, so that when there's a demand to pull on your anointing, to pull on the grace of God upon your life, you can minister from your overflow. And the Lord help us to grow in our walk and our understanding of the journey with the Lord as we walk with the Lord. Okay, so we've been looking at a very interesting story, that of a couple of kings, King Saul, we had King David, we had another, you know, king who just popped up in the story, King Achish, you know, Achish. And we've been talking about the big king, the ultimate king, who is in the background of all this story we've been reading. Right from 1 Samuel 27, we saw the exceptional favor that the Lord gave him with King Achish to be able to get the place he used for his headquarters. And we're now moving on in our story further in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I think we had stopped about where he had gone to pray and he took a decision, which we're talking about the importance of that decision. And we're studying that decision to seek the face of the Lord, to inquire of the Lord, you know, and carry on his journey. So I think we've got to, let's look at it, verse 9. So David went, and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook of Besor. Now this is 1 Samuel chapter 30, just reading verse 9, okay? And where those stayed who were left behind. All right, so those who couldn't go with him stayed behind, and the king, but David pursued, he and 400 of his men. All right, so the important thing here, for 200 were, you know, really tired, and they stayed behind. They couldn't make it, they were exhausted. Some scriptures, you know, talked about the condition in which these men, who were so weary, you know, from the previous journeys, they could not cross over at the brook. All right, so in verse 11 here, we see that they had found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him, you know, something to eat to revive himself, gave him some bread, you know, and he ate, and then they gave him some drinking water to drink as well, and they gave him a piece of cake also, of figs, and two cups of raisins. So when he had eaten and was a bit refreshed, his strength had come back to him, all right, for he had eaten no bread, no drink or water for the best part of 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong?" You know, so I was inquiring from him, and where are you from? And he said, "I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekites." Okay, my master left me behind, okay, because 3 days ago I fell sick. So he was left stranded because he was sick, right? And he made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherites in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burnt down Ziklag, which is where David's headquarters was. And David said to him, "Can you take me down to the troop?" So he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to the troop." All right. So when he had brought, him down, all right, they got to a place where he spread out over the land, and eating and drinking, you know, so they eventually caught up with the troops. So I just want to stop at this point. You know, we talked about King Achish and how he was divinely orchestrated by God to give David that piece of territory called Ziklag, and it became a headquarters for David. And we know how they had stayed there for a long time, and then David continued his raids, and then we started in 1 Samuel chapter 30 to recognize that he came back from one of those raids and they had lost everything, their wives, their children, their stock, everything was taken away, and Ziklag was burned down. He inquired of the Lord, which was a different thing, you know, from his normal get up in your own strength and go along. And that's something we all want to learn from when we look at walking with the Lord. So inquired of the Lord, he asked two questions, and the Lord answered both his questions. Can I pursue them? Yes, you can. Will you catch up with them? Yes, you will catch them, and you will overtake them, and you'll recover all. So the Lord gave him very clear answers back. Oftentimes when we're in, you know, the crossroads, I think I asked a couple of questions. What do you do when you're at the crossroads of life? What do you do in a season where you don't seem to be able to trace the voice of God? You're not sure you can sense the presence of God. What do you do when you've made a terrible mistake? What do you do when you've lost everything? They are very trying seasons. But one thing we must understand, God is love. And in the personality that is love, his very nature is to love regardless of what is going on around us. So the important thing here, because sometimes we kind of mix it up together, whatever is going on around you doesn't change the nature and the character of God. So God still loves you unconditionally regardless of what you're going through. Whatever you're going through does not take out of the strength of God, of the ability of God, or his ability to deliver. None of those things that you experience changes who God is, his authority, his power. So that is something we need to understand. But in that place, and stature, that position of loving God, His very nature will come through for you. If you can wait and be confident, not just in His process, but more importantly, or most importantly, in His presence. So trust in His presence and trust in His process. So even in those times, you are still going through a process. He has allowed whatever you're going through to happen for a reason. He will bring all of it to work together for your good, to your advantage eventually. That's why we read these stories and we look at how people reacted. So we see here, David has got answers to those questions. He sought the Lord with the right protocol through the priest, very, very, very advisable, and he was instructed to go. And he comes in contact now with this Egyptian who was abandoned and inquires from him. If you look at this, just like King Achish, this is another divinely orchestrated ally. An ally is somebody that is, you know, sent to assist you, to help you. You may not have planned for them. You may not have, you know, anticipated their being along your journey or in the plan of God. But it's divinely orchestrated, like help from the sanctuary. Somebody to hold your hand, a shoulder to lean upon, somebody that can give you counsel. So what I'm trying to say here, when we look at that prayer, there was no description of an ally coming or you'll meet some. There was nothing of the sort. But he went on as commanded, and on his way he met an ally. I want to say again, God will divinely orchestrate that all things will work together for your good. All right, the Lord will cause things to favor your righteous cause. You need to trust in Him. You need to trust in His nature. You need to trust in the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You need to trust in the one who has made a way for others, and He will do the same for you. But this waiting on the Lord, this trusting that if we do our bit, like we said, if you provide the bit that is expecting from you, then you can be sure that whatever it is you're expecting from the Lord will do His bit. He's not a man that He should lie, you know. And so I just pointing out two things here. One, that there was this divinely orchestrated ally sent to help him, to favor his cause. May the Lord send you divine helpers. May the Lord help you, send you destiny helpers. May the Lord send people that will counsel you, walk with you, hold your hand as you go through your trying seasons. But I pray that you be discerning to know that even along your way, even after you have communed with the Lord, you have inquired of the Lord is still working to make sure everything is working together for your good. Another thing to note in this few scriptures I've read from verses 9 to 18, well, 17 thereabout, was that he had planned to go with the 600 men who he had been fighting and raiding all these several times. But when they got to the brook of Besor, a lot of them were absolutely exhausted. I don't know what it is you had planned to use in the challenging season you're going through. And sometimes the Lord is like, I don't need that, or that's not going to work, or you have to do without that. Your challenge is to trust God even with less than you probably are leaning upon. So here's David leaning upon his 600 men, and yet 600 men are not going to go to the rest of the journey that is beyond the brook of Besor. I don't know what it is you have planned for your journey. Maybe you're planning to take some people with you to help you to go through, to, you know, walk with you, whatever it is. Sometimes that is not the plan of God. And whatever it is, we must learn to lean not on our understanding, but to trust in the Lord, you know, to do the things that only Him can do, you know, and help us in the way that only Him can help. And sometimes it's not the things that we're measuring in our own estimation to help us or to strengthen us or to see us through. He can completely change the plan around. Okay, man proposes, but God disposes. We'll take a little break now, and we'll come back and look at the rest of this story. So we've seen here that he's come up with this ally, he's got some information, and they've gone and journeyed so far. They've gotten to the camp where the raiders are, and we'll look after the break and see what happens here and try and round up on a few things in this very interesting story of the kings and the ultimate king who's always in the background in our study on walking with God. See you after the break. Track there, CC Winers, We Believe. You know, that's the attitude we need to have when we're walking with God, in spite, like I said, of the challenges, the crossroads, the tough times when we can't sense His voice. You probably cannot sense His presence. He is there with you. His promise, He will never leave you or forsake you. You know, very powerful confessions there. You know, God, we believe for it. We believe that You have given us a word. You know, David believed that the Lord had told him he could go, so he kept moving on. You know, we believe that You will make a way even where there seems to be no way. You know, we believe that the Lord will send help from the sanctuary. We have to keep believing as we walk with the Lord. You know, you will believe, you know, that He will move the immovable. We believe that He will, you know, turn possibilities out of what may seem impossible for men. We believe consistently in the ability of God. It's so important as you're walking with Him that your belief in Him is firm. It's, you know, unruffled. you know, firmly rooted, believing, unshakable. Make sure nothing shifts your belief. Make sure nothing is, you know, causing you to doubt. Make sure every thought to the contrary is done away with. Cast every imagination, every high thing, everything that is contrary to your expectation. As you hold on to that expectation, the Bible makes us to understand that he is the one who orders the step of the righteous man. And the Bible says that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. I want to believe, God, that whatever it is you are going through, even in your trying seasons, that the expectation you have, you know, will not be cut off. That hope that you have will not be disappointed. That you will, against all that you're facing, have hope, have a strong, firm belief in God to see you through. It's so important, brethren, as we walk in the Lord. You remember Psalm 139, it's a constant reminder when we look at the attributes of God. You know, we talked about the fact that he is omnipotent, you know, all powerful, omnipresent, ever present, everywhere, at all times, even when you don't sense him. You know, and he's omniscient, he's all knowing, nothing is hidden from him. So keep that in the back of your mind, that this is the one to whom you're praying, this is the one to whom you've sought counsel and made your inquiries from, this is the one to whom you are walking with along your journey. And because he's able to make a way where there seems to be no way, to bring the impossible to become possible, you need to hold on with your firm belief. Hold on, making sure that you are unruffled, you are not shaken, okay? Regardless of what is thrown against you, regardless of what projectiles are sent in your direction, regardless of what counsel is sent to you, the report contrary to what you're expecting, these are all things that you can expect in that season. But you have to remain resolute, you have to have a great deal of resilience, you know, can do attitude, come what may, I'm not giving up, I'm not backing down. You know, you press through that situation in your walk with the Lord, and he will comfort for you in the name of Jesus. So we see here David and his men, all right, in spite of some of the disappointments with the guys at, you know, the brook of Besor, still pressed on. Again, the Lord sent another, you know, orchestrated ally to help him. Now, and when they had brought him, okay, down, okay, there, they went and spread out over all of the land. They were eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken, okay? So they were not even aware, you know. And the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them. So these are the raiders that come up with them from twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except for 400 men, okay, young men who rode away on camels. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried, okay, away, and David rescued his two wives, all right, and nothing of theirs was lacking, okay, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoils or anything which they had, you know, previously taken from David's camp, all right, and recovered everything. So it's a good story, the ending here, you know, where we see that according to the word of the Lord, he did get there, he did catch up with them, he recovered all. And it's just in our walk with the Lord and understanding how we must make sure that whatever the Lord has instructed us, we are in alignment, we are in total agreement. Every action you take must demonstrate your trust in him, your faith in the word that he has spoken, and your obedience to the instructions he has given to you. And so important, you know. And all of us will go through this type of challenges at one stage of our lives or the other, you know. Just want to look at the scripture to reiterate what we had said a few minutes ago about, as long as you're in the plan of God, everything you know, in ways we cannot understand, he's able to make them work together for our good. It says, this is Romans chapter 8 and from 22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs, okay, together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly. All right, so it's not something that is unique to an individual. All of us groan eagerly, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. So there's a hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For where does one still hope for what he sees? So whatever it is you're hoping and anticipating, your expectation is for something that is not visible, something that is not tangible, but you still have to have that expectation. Verse 25 says, but if we hope for what we do see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I'll read that again. But if we hope for what we do not see, I beg your pardon, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So that thing that you do not see, that you're hoping, because it's not tangible, because it's not visible, then you wait with expectation, you wait with perseverance. So we must persevere, we must have this can-do attitude. Likewise, verse 26, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, okay, which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows, you know, what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now this is an important bit here, you know, on the top of what we're talking about, walking with the Lord, as we have the expectation, as we're hoping, as we're believing by faith, we must know that in our own dispensation we have the Spirit of God and he is there. So even as we groan in our eagerly anticipating what it is the Lord is going to do, the Spirit is there. Sometimes we do not even have any idea, how do we pray, where do I start from, what type of prayer am I going to pray. The Spirit that is within you does not have such confusion, he's not experienced such frustration, but he's there and he will pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so we have on board the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and we do well to, you know, commune with him, to trust in his ministry, you know, to lead us, to guide us, even to intercede. He that knows the mind of the Spirit can pray for the things we have no understanding, no revelation, there's no heads up, you have no idea. And so what is important here is to the believer to understand, as long as you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, as a believer, you are not left alone, you are not on your own. No matter the season you are going through, the Spirit of God is there, he helps us. You know, sometimes people come and like, why are they blabbling, what's all of that? I'm not talking to you, I'm communing with the Spirit, and the Spirit to Spirit communication is very clear what the communion is at that time. He knows the heart of the, you know, Spirit, he knows the heart of your mind, he knows the heart of your issue at that point, and so he's able to pray the will and the mind. I said praying according to the will of God, and I pray that we will not just be hearers of what we have shared, you know, today, but that, you know, we will continue in that assurance of the one before whom we stand, of the one in whose presence that we stand before every time we are going through whatever it is we are facing, and that he will see us through and he will help us so that we are able to take delivery of that expectation that we have, you know. So it's so important to remember that God is love, God is not a man that he should lie, God is faithful to his promises. God will show up even when you think he's not traceable, when you think you cannot hear his voice. His presence is still there, you know. So trust in his presence, trust in his process, trust in the integrity of his character and the things he has done. And we keep studying. Bible says these things are written for our learning, so that we can learn from these stories. We can cultivate some, you know, appropriate attitude and proper posture, you know, and reaction in our times of challenges. And the Lord will see you through in Jesus' name. Okay, so we'll take another break now. We have one more song before the end of the little track, before the end of the program, and then we'll come back and then just see a few more things that we can really glean from all that we've been learning once again about walking with God, the story of the two kings and the ultimate king in the background, who is always there to fulfill and watch over his word to perform it. Catch up with you after this break.
If my heart could tell a story, if my life would sing a song, if I have a testimony, if I have anything at all, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me out this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. Oh, my joy. Let my children tell their children. Let this be their memory. That all my treasure was in heaven, and you were everything to me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. I found my joy.
Still my everything. I'm still in love.
lovely track there. No one cares for me like Jesus. You know, this is something in your walk with the Lord that has to be an established fact, an established reality for you. You know, she goes on to say, let my children tell the stories, all right, of the faithfulness of God. What legacy are you leaving for those around you of how you have weathered the challenges of life? What legacy or stories have you, you know, been able to pass on, you know, from your experiences, from what you've gone through? It's so important that we leave a good legacy. It's so important. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, so that when they grow up, they will not depart from it. So what is it that the young ones around you are gleaning from your life? What are they learning from the way you handle situations, that they can tell us stories? You know, grandma did this when she was going through this. She prayed, she believed, she waited upon the Lord. You know, we talked about expectation at the beginning. There is an expectation that we have, but there's also what we need to be doing and God expects from us. So it's two-way traffic. And one of the things you will find, story after story, is that when it comes to things of the spirit, there's a spirit to spirit, you know, communication, spirit to spirit transaction. And in the spirit, one of the things that weighs very, very heavily, we talked about bring the fire and he will bring the sacrifice. There's an exchange, all right? There's what you are doing, there's what you are bringing. And one of the things you'll find in the language of spiritual communication, deep calling unto deep, spirit to spirit, is sacrifice. What sacrifice are you prepared to make for that which you are anticipating, that which you're believing God for? And so that's where some of the disciplines, like, you know, praying for certain times in a particular way, or waiting and fasting, you know, these are spiritual disciplines which demand a sacrifice on the part of the one that's expecting something from the Lord in their walk with the Lord, you know. And so it shouldn't just be something that's mental assent. It must be something that we have read, we've studied, we have scriptures, we have applied ourselves, we've put it into practice, and we've taken delivery of a testimony. I keep saying it, a testimony is not something you can pick up from the supermarket. A testimony is some challenging season, trying season that you've weathered through. You've applied yourself, you stood on the scripture, you've done your own bit as instructed by the scripture, and God has come through for you. I pray every one of our listeners listening, that the Lord will come through for you in your time of need, in the name of Jesus. Another important scripture I want to just share is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31. It says, if there is anything to boast about, let us boast, let my boast be in my God. All right, so, you know, your walk with God, if there's anything that you want to boast about, let it be, okay, about his ability. So then it is written in the scriptures, he who boasts and glories, let him boast and glory in the Lord. I'll take that again. He who boasts and he who glories, let him boast and glory in the Lord. Boasting is not necessarily a negative thing. You know, we're just testifying of the goodness of God, testifying of God's glory, God's grace, God's loving kindness, God's power, God's anointing, God's power to deliver, to set free. These are the things you boast about. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24, similar scripture. It says, but let the one who boasts, boast in this. Let the one who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, in bracket, and acknowledges me and honors me as God, and recognizes without any doubt that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, justice, and righteousness, you know, on the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. That's Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24. So from these two scriptures, we can see the teaching of the Lord is that if there's anything anybody wants to make noise about, or you want to have your boasting in anything, you know, this particular scripture in Jeremiah really opens it up. Let it be that you understand and you know me. It is a need to understand who it is you're walking with when you walk with God. It's a need to understand that you know him because of your consistency in that relationship, because of your fellowship with him, because of your communion. Let that be your boasting. I know God. I know my God. I know he will answer my prayers. You know, it's such a stability in your life. It remains like a testimony to others and becomes a sense of stability and strength to others around you. May you come to know the Lord that you're walking with. May you come to a place of understanding to be able to boast that this is one thing I understand and I know. Okay, and I acknowledge, okay, and I honor that my God is great, my God is mighty, my God has never lost a battle, my God will fight for me, my God has fought several battles for me and my family. I will still praise him, though he slain me, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will still praise him. Let that be your confession, let that be the driver. It doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter how uncomfortable things are, I will still trust him. Though the vision tarry, though what he has shown me is taking time, though the promise may take some time, it will not tarry. Even at the appointed time, that vision will speak, that word too will come to pass, that promise of God will be made manifest. Let that be your boast, let that be your confession. And I pray that the Lord who watches over his word to perform it will come through for you in every season of your life in the name of Jesus. Lovely people, let us make sure our walking with the Lord is not just lip service, that we have truly come to know him. We are the owners of testimonies. We have walked with him, you know, on times without number. We have seen the hand of God. We have seen his intervention. And this particular trying season you're going through will not be an exception. He has never lost a battle, and anything you commit into his hand, he doesn't intend to lose the battles that concern you. Rather, he wants to give you the victory. Why? He has already declared you an overcomer. He has already declared you victorious because of you believing in his son Jesus Christ. This is the word of God concerning you. So you need to believe that. You need to keep your confession, which is your profession, you know, going at this time. Make sure it's strong. Make sure you stay unruffled. Make sure you're fully rooted. Make sure you have these scriptures at your fingertips. Make sure they're there on your tongue. Let it be your confession till you take delivery of that promise. Another scripture that we can look at, but we don't have that much time. I'll give you two more. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7, very similar, talking about, you know, our boast in the Lord. So let it be. Now there's another interesting story. I'll give it to you more like a homework. What does it really mean to boast in our knowledge and understanding of God? You know, what does that really mean? You know, but to let anyone that boasts come into this understanding that he understands and knows the Lord. That's what is the most important thing here. You know, let your boasting be that you have come to understand this personality, you know, and you know him. Let that be your testimony. You cannot know him if you have not spent time with him. Even myself, you only know me the degree to which you spend time in my presence, in fellowship, in communion. And so it is with our God. We can't talk about him. We're talking about knowing him. So we must spend time in his presence to come to a place of understanding of this personality, come to a place of understanding of his mode of operation, come to a place of understanding that he's a covenant keeping God. He keeps his part of the bargain. We have our part to play, and as long as we do that which he's asked us to do, he will still come through for us in the name of Jesus. Right, so I said I was going to give a little homework just on this theme, you know, the phrase boast in the Lord. You find this, like I said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 31, you know, where Paul is quoting Jeremiah 9:24, which also read, says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Okay, it may seem strange to think of boasting as good, Alright, like I meant earlier, it means to puff up oneself in a speech or pride in condemnation in scripture. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 22, Paul is obviously not talking about sinful boasting. The Bible never condones, you know, and that kind of attitude. Alright, and so a lot of people have used this out of context, but let's read and study so that we use it in its right context, in the right way we're supposed to. Right, so I wanted to give you a homework. Now, that homework is found in Ezra chapter 8, and if we read from verses 7 to 23, maybe we'll study this in another session we have. But basically, what is happening here is that God's children found themselves in a situation where the king had offered to help and they said no, you know, they will not take the offer from the king, and they vowed within themselves that their trust will be in God, their boast will be in God. Reminds me of you know, some of the Hebrew children. They said, oh king, if our God decides not to answer us today, we're still not going to, you know, follow your instruction. You have to have your confidence in God. Let your boasting be in God. Let your boasting be in the fact that you have walked with God. He will come through for you, regardless of what people may offer, people wanting to take the glory. No, you're not giving them that opportunity. I will trust in the Lord. I will lean and on upon him. I will call upon him. I will praise his name. I will exalt his name in this situation. I am confident the Lord will come through for me. I pray, Lord, that as many of our listeners have been here today and have listened to our session, that they might trust in you, that they might have their confidence in you, that God, you will grant them the privilege of becoming owners of testimony, people that have gone through something in their walk with you to be able to testify of the goodness of you, Jehovah, right here in the land of the living. I pray you give each one of our listeners testimony to be able to boast in the Lord. I pray that you give them such great testimonies, they will be an encouragement to others. And I pray, Lord, that you will do exceedingly, the Bible says, abundantly, far beyond what they can ask or think of, you know, even as they come unto you. You will surprise them, you will overwhelm them, you will do more than they've expected. And the Lord do for you more than you can imagine. The Lord be with you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon each and every one of you. The Lord be the one in your boat. The Lord be the one that fights your battle. The Lord do more for you than you can even articulate and put together in prayer. Till we meet again, same time, lovely people on this channel, it's been a pleasure being with you this Sunday. I pray that the Lord answers your prayer. I pray that the words that have been shared today will release grace even to you to step out in faith, to be bold, to increase your boasting in the Lord, to have testimonies galore, to leave a legacy, an example for the young ones around you, that they can learn from the way you've battled, the way that you've fought, the way that you've done things. You know, this is how we overcome, this is how we battle, and this is how we get the victory. Let that be your testimony. The Lord be with you. The Lord strengthen you. Bye for now and have a great Sunday.